Glory to God forever and ever. Jesus is alive. Amen. Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We give everything to you because you've given us everything that we have. We acknowledge that, and we are so grateful to be yours. Wonderful Jesus, reveal yourself to us as only you can. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are God and we welcome you here. Amen. I believe with those who are listening for their needs, we lift them up in prayer, and I believe with them for their specific needs, also for the greatest need that we all have, which is to know you, the only true God, and your glory. And so I believe with them. Jesus, you said, if two of you agree as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them. Just one of your many glorious promises. And so, there's such power in that, and we receive that. Amen. The glory of the Lord is the Lord Himself. Amen. The only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The chief end of man is to know Him. The chief end of every person on the earth, to know Him. And man was born to fellowship with God. Amen. This is an unspeakable mystery that God would offer Himself in this way. And a very human example, you know, of fellowship is, of course, if two people spend time together and they enjoy each other's presence. You know, that's just a human example. But there's a deep revelation there, because let me just state it very plainly. So man was born to fellowship with God, but also man was born to be in right relationship with the people that they come in contact with the people that they have a relationship with. And therefore, Jesus gave the two great commandments. You know, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with everything you have. And then he said, this is so key, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So they're connected. And so when we say fellowship with God, you know, contained with, well, man was also born to fellowship with people and have be in that right relationship, but that's not the fulfilling, that's not what they were born to do. The deepest reality of knowing God is fellowship with Him. Okay, He's the most wonderful, most glorious, most beautiful being in the universe. Amen. It's just this glorious revelation of Him and this mystery that man was created for Him. He created man for Himself. How do we know that? Well, when people go to heaven, they will be in His presence in glory forever. Amen. How glorious and wonderful this is. And He offers that glory on the earth to a person in their life. Amen, amen. In their human earthly life. Okay. So wonderful. Let's remember that it's simple. It is simple. It's a person loving the Lord their God with everything that they have. And that fulfills, that's similar to the scripture in Jeremiah. You shall seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. So that's all a person needs to know. You know, that's the key to knowing him. If someone says, well, how do I know him in his glory? That's the answer. And that's all they need. It's that simple. Now, everything that God contained within knowing him is this wonderful, you might say, exciting adventure where Jesus is our leader. He's our master. He's the good shepherd, and he teaches and leads, does so much more. I'm going to try to put in the notes some of these things that Jesus does. Is so glorious. Jesus loves, saves, heals, delivers, redeems, invites, gives in so many ways. Gives the kingdom. The Father gives the kingdom, and Jesus gives the kingdom. There's a mystery there. He gives himself. Jesus blesses, speaks, teaches, leads, reveals, baptizes, anoints, sets free, prays and intercedes, reveals himself. Jesus exalts. Jesus promises. Jesus knocks on the door of your heart. Jesus offers fellowship. Amen. Amen. Okay. This is the last main point that I want to make. There's a mystery and a dilemma. And I touched on this yesterday. That it's so true. God loves the world. He gave Jesus. He's given Jesus to the world. And he gave Jesus as a man who died on the earth for mankind. God sacrificed his son for mankind. Okay? Proving. The indisputable proof of his love and Jesus' love for mankind. God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to make it to heaven. But there's this massive dilemma, and you could think of many synonyms for this, but that most people are not saved and will not get saved. Most people don't care about the things of God. Okay? This is could be a major, major objection that people present. People present many objections, don't they? So many objections. Okay? The root cause of the objections is that they've chosen self instead of God. When someone does that, they're going to have all kinds of objections. Even believers, a born-again believer who has a lot of objection, who chooses self on any particular day or phase in their life, they're going to have objections too. Okay. But a big one is what I just presented. If God, they would say, if God loves the world so much, and you're saying he's so glorious and so wonderful, and he is, and he wants everyone to make it to heaven, doesn't want anyone to end up in hell, which is the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He doesn't want any, he loves everyone and wants everyone to be saved. Okay, and they would say, well, then how can it be that most don't get saved? And there's also objections within this. They would say, why is my life so hard? Why is there so much suffering on the earth? How could a God allow so much suffering all over the world and children dying? And, 30,000 children, statistics show, 30,000 children every day under the age of 5 die prematurely and are suffering greatly. Of course, if they died, they were suffering greatly with diseases and malnutrition and tuberculosis, TB, and all these different Okay, these are big objections that people have. And as I mentioned, there is a main answer, a truth from the Bible that answers many of these objections. Specifically, you know, if someone says, how could it be that most people you're saying don't get saved and they end up in hell? How can that be? Well, because God made man in his own image. God gave man choice. God cannot and will not make anyone receive him or even choose him on any particular day, even a believer. So that's a deep mystery. And this is also part of the mystery of how the truth that God wants to fellowship with man. And that man has the choice to either choose to seek him and to fellowship with him or not. Just as man has the choice to be saved or not, the choice between God and self. Well, same thing with believers. They have the choice every day to serve God or not, and also to seek him or not. To seek him with the intent of fellowshipping with him or not. Isn't that it fascinating? All truth parallel. Man has the choice to worship God or not. Even believers. Fascinating. All truth parallel. Now, within this also, here's a deep, deep truth that's revealed throughout the Bible, of course, but also in man's relationship with God, is that God has justified himself to the whole world. Amen. John Wesley, I think, said this famous statement, God came to earth as a man and justified himself to the world. And this is fascinating, and it's also fascinating that this is truth that God's justified himself, again, all truth parallel. So if he sent his son, well, let's look at the big picture. God came to the earth as a man, justified himself to the world. Also, same another truth directly related, God has sent the Holy Spirit, has come himself to the earth and is available to every person, and therefore has justified himself to every person. And he has justified himself, I would say, in more ways than we can comprehend. More ways than we could ever comprehend. God has fully and completely, I mean totally, justified himself. And so, you say, well, what are some examples? Well, he's made it simple to know him, to be saved. He's made it easy. He's always available. He's always the same, always faithful. Oh, glory to God. He's always forgiving. If someone comes in humility and brokenness, he's always forgiving. Isn't this glorious that he's in all these different ways that he's justified himself? You know, if he sent his son to die for the world, well, then he's justified himself surely in many, 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 many other ways. I think I've said this before. I believe there's like a scientific law that is that same principle. You know, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C and A equals, you know, something along that lines, like a law of physics or law of now people would still say, well, what about all the suffering? What about all the people that don't make it to hell? Well, who don't make it to heaven and who end up in hell? That's suffering. That's, now, we don't, let me just touch on a few things. Number one, we don't have all the answers. We're finite beings. Okay, there's a lot revealed in the Bible, but there's a lot of mystery surrounding our most holy faith and so forth. So we don't have all the answers, and we cannot explain everything. Number two, really, though, actually, number one is we should never cross-question God. That's really the first thing. Second one is that we don't have all the answers and we cannot explain everything. Number three, those who suffer on the earth are more likely to make it to heaven. That's revealed in many ways in the Bible. Many. Okay, and within these objections, people come up with all kinds of objections, don't they? I mean, they just, and one of them is, well, I didn't even choose to be on this earth, and yet you're saying if I don't choose God, I'm going to end up in hell. Yesterday I heard someone in ministry gave a great explanation of this. He said, and I didn't come up with this, he said, if someone's on a boat and they didn't choose to be on the boat and they're capsizing and they're about to die, they could say, hey, I didn't even choose to be on this boat and I'm going to drown to death. And if another boat comes along to save that person and they don't get in that other boat, they have the opportunity to get in the other boat and be saved. Who's to blame for that? So this, what this is revealing is Jesus is the Savior. That's a great example that this minister gave. Glory to God. God has justified Himself. Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world, who is always available. He's alive. He's available through the Holy Spirit. He's not just more than just available. Okay? He's knocking on the door of every person's heart. This perfect plan that God has set up, Jesus Himself through the Holy Spirit, everywhere on the earth, available to every person. And so with believers, I'll try to finish with this. This is so glorious. A believer has the glory of God in their spirit person, literally God Himself, their spirit person, and the glory of God is all around them, all the time, everywhere they go, their entire life. And still we come up with so many objections. Still we, you know, there's a time for that we should, well, there's a time for complaining, right? Life is hard. But let's always remember these truths that I've just presented. That all truth is parallel, and these truths apply to believers also, that it's God has made it simple and easy. He's always available. He's always the same, always faithful. Reinhard Bonnke said, we're condemned to victory. And how do we get the victory? It's through the glory of the Lord in our lives. Celebrating Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. And it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's famous scripture from Zechariah. Zechariah 4:6. Glory to God.